Birthing from the Inside Out is a place where we gather to talk about how pregnancy and birth transform us. I'm your host, Shannon Backus, certified birth doula and childbirth educator for over 10 years. I hope you'll grab a cup of coffee and join us for fun, gritty, and educational conversations all about birth. From detailed birth stories to insights from birth professionals and birth-related services, each episode will help you evaluate just how transformed by birth you've been from the inside out. Disclaimer, this podcast does not provide medical advice or diagnoses. All content is for educational purposes only. Seek the advice and recommendations of your medical practitioner. On today's episode, I'm joined by my guest, Jessica, who shares her greatest triumphs and her deepest losses. In her vulnerability, she shares incredible pieces of wisdom. This episode contains stories of miscarriage, stillbirth, and the celebration of her living children. If you are sensitive to these sobering realities or have little ears listening with you, you may want to skip this episode or wait until you're ready to listen.
In my case, I had this life experience where I faced trauma eye to eye, right big in my face. I faced trauma, but yet it was still beautiful. Like, it's so hard to fully explain that, but I mean, I would never take it back. Of course, I would rather have a different outcome than to have my boys die. I'm still grieving. I'll always miss them. It's really hard. And so, I mean, there's times where I have bitterness, but I'd say though, more than that, it's really softened my heart that I've been through that. And so it's been really sweet to come alongside other moms who've lost babies, because if you've ever lost a baby, it's painful. And I feel like for me, one of the biggest things I felt was very lonely. I felt very like no one fully got me, and that was really hard. But after I had my losses, like, people just almost seemed to come out of the woodwork and say, you know, I had a miscarriage, I lost someone, or my sister was stillborn, or my mom lost the baby. And like, that was just so eye-opening and also just really comforting to my weary heart.
Today, I am just delighted to have Jessica on the show with us and for her to share her birth stories with us. Thanks for coming on the show today. Why don't you begin just by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Jessica, and I've been married to my husband, Evan, for almost 11 years now. We're both born and raised in Central Illinois, lived here pretty much our whole lives, except for 3 years we lived in Georgia, and we have 7 children in total. We have 4 in our home and 3 in heaven. My oldest is Leora, who is 7, and then after her, we had an early miscarriage. My third pregnancy was my son Enzo, who was stillborn at 38 weeks. After him, we had my daughter, Evelina, who's now 4 years old. After her, we had Zeke, who was stillborn at 30 weeks. After that, we had Isaac, who is now 2 years old, and Adele, who is 3 months old.
Why don't you share with us a little bit about your birth stories? You can be as detailed as you want, or you can just kind of hit the highlights of the births that you want to talk about.
First was Leora. She was a home birth in Georgia, where we lived there at the time. She was born with midwives in our home at the time. And it was I love all my births, but hers was just truly amazing. It was an amazing experience just being in our home. Everything went flawless. The sun was shining. Like, it was just a beautiful birth that I'm very thankful for. And then after hers, we had our early miscarriage. I had just been in a really bad car accident. And so we found out at the ER that I was pregnant. And then a few weeks later, we had the miscarriage. And so from that car accident, I had a little bit of a minor fracture in my hip. After our miscarriage, we got pregnant again. And at that pregnancy, I knew I wanted to deliver in the hospital due to a minor fracture from the car wreck. The pregnancy was totally fine. I had a doula lined up because I was just nervous to deliver in a hospital. I didn't want a lot of medical interventions. I wanted to be as natural as I could. And so I just wanted a doula to be a partner on my birth team and to advocate for me. And so at 38 weeks and 3 days, I went into labor naturally, and we found out it was a really quick labor, and he was born really soon after I got to the hospital. But during all of that, we just knew, the team knew that there was no heartbeat. And so we lost our son Enzo at 38 weeks and 3 days. And to kind of tie in having a doula, I was so thankful we had a doula then, because I had asked Evan to stay with Enzo as they took him to the warmer to resuscitate him. And the doula stayed by my side, and she just comforted me and like stroked my hair and just was there with me. So even though Evan and I were together in the room, I felt like I had someone by my side while Evan was with our son in those moments when I couldn't be next to him because I was still in the hospital bed. So just to kind of tie in how really appreciate having a doula, that's kind of how it started. And then from that point forward, I knew I'd always have a doula at every delivery. So then after Enzo, we then had Evelina. The pregnancy with her was great. But at 37 weeks, I was diagnosed with cholestasis. And so just to avoid any further complications, my provider felt like it was best if I was induced. And I agreed because I was terrified of losing her. Thankfully, nothing bad happened. She was born beautifully with no complications at all. So then after Evelina, we got pregnant again, and we knew it was a little boy, so that made me nervous. And then we soon learned that he had a lot of health complications, very unrelated to what had happened with Enzo. So Zeke was his name, and he had high drop, and that just meant that he had a lot of fluid around his heart and lungs, and he just wasn't developing well. And then at 30 weeks and 2 days, his heart stopped beating, and I felt him stop moving. And so I went to the hospital, and they confirmed that his heart was not beating anymore. And so we induced, and it actually, that was by far the hardest birth, emotionally and physically super painful. All of my deliveries I did naturally without an epidural, and that one by far was just the hardest. See, I did have shoulder dystocia. I think the emotions behind it was really hard to go forward in that delivery. But I was very thankful again that we had Shannon with us. You were just so great, and that you walked alongside us through that process. Just after losing Zeke, it just completely broke me. I feel like I still was hurting from losing Enzo, and the fact that it happened again. So after we lost Zeke, Evan and I prayed, and we felt that we wanted to try again, and felt kind of nervous from the public's eye that they may not fully understand, but we just held on to our faith and carried on in the pregnancy through our prayers and prayers of our close friends and family. The pregnancy went pretty smoothly until 34 weeks. I was diagnosed again with cholestasis. Basically, with cholestasis, it's a buildup of bile acid fluids in the liver, and normally it just flows out and it's fine. But if it doesn't, it builds up and then it can spill out into the placenta and into the bloodstream of the baby, and it can harm the baby. So it was really risky. And so I was just already being monitored a lot, but even more so after that diagnosis. And so then finally at 36 and a half weeks, I was induced, and as much as I wanted just to have a natural delivery, I also just wanted a live baby. And so I agreed with the plan, and my doctor and I made a really good plan, and he always heard me out and wanted to know what I wanted and how I felt. And ultimately we made decisions together, but obviously he's the doctor. And so I really wanted to hear what he said. And he was very gentle with the approach to deliver kind of on my terms, but safely. And so that was really important to me. And his birth was just, I was just filled with so much emotions of anxiety and fear and joy and excitement and anticipation. And I was just so terrified to deliver a baby boy. I had two living daughters at the time, and I had lost two sons. And so my emotions were just extreme. And I just remember being comforted by the rhythmic sounds of his strong heartbeat on the monitor and Evan staying by my side and constantly encouraging me with words and with constant prayers and knowing that we had so many friends and family praying for us. And then Shannon, you arrived and oh my goodness, I felt like I just needed your presence there. Just your soothing voice and comforting words helped me overcome my fears and anxiousness. And it was soon after you had arrived that our lives were forever changed and he came into my arms and I just was in so much disbelief and shock and I just could not open my eyes. I was so overwhelmed with joy. And even though my eyes were closed, I didn't see him at first. As I held him, I knew that he was alive, even though he didn't cry right away. Mm-hmm. But I could, because of my past experiences, I could feel just by the muscle tone that he was alive. And plus, everyone in the room was just congratulating us. And it just felt so different from that silence I felt with my boys when they were born. So felt like forever. He finally let out this huge, healthy cry. And I just bawled again. And I was just so filled with joy and praise and relief. And yeah, his birth just completely affected and changed me so much and brought a lot of healing. Like, I wouldn't say like I'm, you know, he healed me or anything, but like I was so broken. And that really brought a lot of healing to my journey, my grief journey of recovering from the heartbreak of losing my boys. Lastly, we had Adele just 3 months ago, and I thought I was going to have a harder time going into delivery and birth with her, but it was hard. Definitely. I get into my head and I get all these doubts and like, what if this and what if that? But I just also had this peace that things were going to be okay. I had Evan with me. I had you with me. It also went really fast and was amazing. And I still can't believe how she came and just everything turned out great with her. And I'm just so thankful that she's alive.
After having experienced all of your pregnancies and the different birth scenarios that you and Evan went through and had at each delivery of your children, that is a lot to carry with you as you go into subsequent pregnancies and subsequent deliveries. When you think about the way birth transforms people, and Jessica, you're one of the first people that I reached out to ask to be on the podcast because I know how transformative your birth experiences have been and what a wide range of experiences that you've had, you know. So going from having this beautiful, wonderful first physiological birth at home with Leora to then having a miscarriage and losing Enzo completely unexpectedly, and just working through all of those feelings and then continuing in faith to get pregnant and to choose joy and to choose hope in spite of what maybe people in the culture would think. And so could you talk to us a little bit about how birth transformed you, and maybe even just specifically talking about Isaac's birth? You know, having already lost two sons, having two living daughters, and facing your fears of walking through another labor, another pregnancy even with a baby boy. Can you talk to us about how that transformed you?
I actually get asked that a lot when people know my story and if I share with them, they ask, how could you keep going? How could you keep going? And I would just say, I mean, I just don't know what else to say besides just faith in God. And Evan and I just had a really strong trust and faith in him. And even though he didn't answer all of our prayers, and we may never fully understand or know why in this world, in this lifetime, we just still fully knew that God was good. And no matter what happened, ultimately, I just felt like I'm just so thankful for the life that I get to carry. And no matter what happened, they will have life in eternity in heaven. And I will one day get to be with them. And the Bible says this world is just a blink of an eye and eternity is forever. That's always something that I just clung on to and held on to. And that's what got me through each day. And so with Isaac, yeah, it was just so, so hard. It's just, I just wanted my baby boy in my arms. I just wanted, it was hard because I wanted them just to almost like, just get them out of me, just give them to me, put them in my arms. But at the same time, I wanted to naturally feel the natural process of how God created my body to bring him into the world. And I mean, obviously, if there was any problems, I was ready to say, you know, send me back, cut me open, get him out, whatever it takes to get him alive. That's all I wanted. Mm-hmm. I think you had asked me, Shannon, like, what are your goals or what do you hope for out of this delivery? And I just was like, a live baby. That's like, that's the ultimate goal for all of my pregnancies. And it's very simple, but it's so big to me. So yeah, I would say first, my faith is what helped with the delivery with Isaac, knowing that the Lord would carry me through no matter the outcome, that he will still be good no matter what happens. And that I also had Evan with his presence, even just being there, but also his encouragement and prayers. And then you, Shannon, just your presence also. I mean, just you just exude positivity and just good things and calmness and peace. And so I think that helped Evan and I, that you were there with us. Also, I was just wanting to meet my baby boy. I just wanted to meet him so, so much. And plus, what really helped too is that, like, I knew my body was capable of delivering a baby. Mm-hmm. So even though I had delivered two boys that weren't breathing, not moving, I had delivered two beautiful girls that had no complications. So I just was really trying to focus on that. And yeah, that's what really kind of pulled me through as far as delivering with Isaac.
And up to about 34 weeks, things seemed to be pretty normal with his pregnancy. And so when that cholestasis diagnosis came, can you tell us a little bit about your thought process? You know, walk us through what that was like for you to hear that diagnosis and then to continue on and hope for good in his delivery.
It was, oh, so terrifying to get that diagnosis. And what was tricky is, unfortunate that it's like this, at least in where I live, is that for this test, it's a blood test, and it takes a week for the results to get back. So I can get my blood drawn, you know, on a Monday, and I have to wait the whole rest of the week until the following Monday to know what my results were. So they could be really high, and I could just be like living my life, not knowing that my blood levels were so high. I feel like I was just walking on eggshells. But I will say that I was praying every day. Evan was praying every day. We had friends and family constantly praying for us, letting us know they're praying. And also just my doctor's office was amazing. They were very encouraging and supportive. And like my doctor, I would just constantly say, you know, he'd ask me any more questions, because I would ask tons and tons and tons of questions at every appointment. But he knew that it was important for me to be monitored. And so Isaac was born in January. And so during those holidays, like during December and like early January, when my doctor's office was closed, I would go to the hospital and get extra monitoring done there, like non-stress tests, ultrasounds, just to make sure everything was looking good. And my doctor would even say, like, if you feel like, you know, between appointments, like I was being seen like anywhere from like 3 to 6 times a week. And he would say, even between appointments, if you feel anything off, he's like, come to my office, go to the hospital, do not hesitate. Just feeling really empowered by him helped a lot to know that there's always somebody there. And so I didn't have to feel like, he said, there's no point in staying up all night, not getting sleep, wondering if my baby's okay. He's like, that's not good for you. And it's not really great for the baby. So you might as well just get checked out. Mm-hmm. And so I think I maybe did that once or twice with my pregnancy with Isaac. But otherwise, I felt pretty good about how often I was being seen.
Have you enjoyed listening to Birthing from the Inside Out podcast? By now, we all know about the algorithm. By leaving your ratings and reviews on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts, you'll help other people just like you find the show. Birth transforms us all from the inside out. So by simply following, rating, and reviewing, you'll be helping other families have positive transformational experiences as they carry these stories into their births. Let's take a moment to hear from our sponsor. Do you feel indecisive about your day-to-day life? Maybe you feel stuck. It might even be you know something's missing, but you don't know what it is. Sometimes it's a dream you have for your life that remains unfulfilled. Your next best step could be hiring Chantel at With Company. As your coach, Chantel knows you need someone to have crucial conversations with. Someone to help you with getting started on creating the life you want instead of just letting life happen to you. According to the longest longitudinal study on how to build a happy life, researchers have found that 40% of our life is in our control. If you're stuck like I have been, your next step is to book a discovery call. This is a free call to meet Chantel and see if she's the best guide for you. Chantel wants to learn more about your passions, strengths, and learning styles. It'll be a chance for you to ask questions about how coaching leads to transformational growth. You can book that call at www.withcompany.us. Enter the word birth into the notes portion and you will receive a $25 discount. Coaching with Chantel is getting clear about what is most important and getting curious about what is standing in the way.
In your pregnancy with Adele, you had sort of a last minute diagnosis. Do you want to tell us the story with her?
Oh my goodness, it came so fast and out of the blue. So we knew that I was going to probably deliver her a little early. Her due date was in November, but I was telling everybody she's coming in October just because I knew I wouldn't go to my due date with my history. And the thing with cholestasis too is that once you have it once, you most likely have it in subsequent pregnancies. So at this point, I had it enough that I knew I'd probably get it with Adele. It was just a matter of time. Well, one of the symptoms of cholestasis is itchiness. And so I started to have some like itchiness in my skin. And so I asked if I could just have it tested a little bit earlier than I think they were planning. So I had my blood tested to get like a baseline, and it was normal. So at least we knew that, you know, I have a normal baseline. And so I had itchiness and I had my blood tested. And it felt like it took forever. It really did take. I think it took longer than a week this time. And finally, it was like a Wednesday afternoon. Like I just was cleaning the house, just doing my normal thing, waiting for Evan to come home from work. And I get this phone call from an unknown number and I answer. And it's my OB. And he's saying he got the lab results back. And he said they are extremely high. And so he basically asked, you know, where's Evan? Like, are you ready to deliver tonight or go into the hospital tonight? I was just like, whoa, what? Mm-hmm. Like, this was way earlier than, and like I said, I knew we were going to deliver early, but I was not quite ready for that. So at this point, I was 36 weeks exactly. So I got to the hospital that on Wednesday night around 9:15 p.m. We started the induction process really gently, really slowly. I was able to get some good rest that night, which I'm so thankful for, especially looking back on it. You know, I was getting different types of gentle inductions without Pitocin at this point. My doctor would come in, he would say, how are you doing? And he just had this like pretty like calm presence. And so I was nervous. I forgot to mention this. When he called me and I hung up the phone, I was trying to not panic. Like I was, you know, the whole high cholestasis numbers, like, and he didn't tell me how high, he just said it was extremely high. And so I'm trying not to panic. So I've just got the kids. And then Evan came home. And I told him that we're going to the hospital, but my doctor had said like to get there around 9:00. So I knew I had some time. So we had dinner, got the kids ready, got them to the grandparents, and got to the hospital around 9:15. And so up until like from that phone call at, it was at 5:30 p.m. from between 5:30 and 9 o'clock, I was internally going crazy, freaking out, so nervous, like having these high bile acid levels. And they'd been high for over a week. And I didn't know because it took so long to get those results back. So anyways, you know, we finally get to the hospital. I get hooked up to the monitors and I hear Adele's heartbeat. And I'm just so relieved that her heart's still beating. I'm in the place that if anything happens, I'm in the right place, that I know that they'll take care of me really quickly and give the intervention that we need. My OB went in to break my water around 12:30 p.m. the next day. And I was kind of like, I don't know, like that seems to be kind of pushing it. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm already getting tired. I just want to get her out safely. And like I said, you know, I felt peace. You know, I was a little nervous, but I felt peace that things were okay. I was able to get the portable monitoring. So I was walking the halls and then, you know, I could hear a heartbeat when I was in the room. And so I felt pretty good. And then my water broke. Things started to pick up quite a bit. And then by 3:30 p.m., I was at a 4 or 5 and I got Pitocin started. And like I said, I was kind of hesitant, but I'm also like, I just wanted to get her out safely. And if that's what the doctor wants, then I'm totally fine with it. And Pitocin at that low of a number is fine. And that's all it really took. That's all it really needed. Because at 3:30, Pitocin was started. And then things just ramped up really quick. Mm-hmm. By 4:30, you arrived. And yeah, it's just crazy. The dispositions you told me to try, and like you had been in enough of my deliveries at this point that you knew the positions I liked, and you just helped me to remember, and the counter pressure you did was amazing. And I love that, you know, you try to help Evan to help me with it, but there's no compare to the way you do the counter pressure. Yeah, it was just so amazing that when at one point I was just kind of laboring, laying on my side. Well, I've been having some back pain, some back pressure. And so I was in a position, I believe it was called the Texas roll. Mm-hmm. Basically, just like I'm laying on my side, kind of got one leg kind of pushed up and the other leg straight down. And I said, I need a push. And I kind of waited for like someone to say something. And I think it was you, Shannon, that said, like, go ahead. You know, the nurse was in the room. You know, everyone had everything set up and ready. And I'm thinking like, it can't be this soon yet, but I feel like I need a push. And so I did. And then, yeah, just the craziest thing. I felt Adele be born, and I'm like waiting. I'm in the pillow. My face is like in the pillow. I'm like clenching things. I'm just like waiting for someone to like say or do something. And then later I learned that no one realized that she was born yet. And it wasn't until you, Shannon, you lifted up my gown or the blanket and saw that Adele was just sitting there between my legs. And you showed Evan that. And then it just seemed like, you know, just a huge flurry, like all the nurses come running in. And eventually my OB came in, and, you know, everything was great though. Like, it was just so amazing that she was born like that, and just a really special time. And yeah, even though like it was quiet at first, like she didn't cry or anything right away, I also just had this peace. I just knew she was alive at that time, and she was great, and she's beautiful now.
For all of your birth experiences and all the transformations that you've had, how do you think that the main transformations affect your life now?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's just really interesting. Like when I think back on them, it's always, no matter the outcome, like whether my child lived or they died, there's always that defining moment. Like it really is a defining moment when each of my children have been born. There is life before and there's life after. And without even realizing it, you know, people say that before I had so-and-so or after so-and-so was born. And it really is transformative. You know, it's not just like I have another person to care for. It's I had this life experience where I brought another life into the world Or in my case, like I had this life experience where I faced trauma eye to eye, right big in my face. I faced trauma, but yet it was still beautiful. Like, it's so weird. I feel like hard to fully explain that, but I mean, I would never take it back. Like, of course I would rather have a different outcome than to have my boys die, but it just really has affected me. It's been 6 years that Enzo has passed. So Enzo would be turning 6 and Zeke would be 3. It almost seems like that's a long time ago, but at the same time, I feel like I am still healing. I'm still grieving. I'll always miss them. Grief is just, I mean, yeah, if you've ever heard anyone talk about how they've lost someone close to them, it's really hard. And so, I mean, there's times where I have bitterness. Like, I feel like I'm like a cranky person and I'm always angry and I have just bitterness sometimes. But I'd say though, more than that, it's really softened my heart that I've been through that. And so it's been really sweet to come alongside other moms who've lost babies, because if you've ever lost a baby, it's painful. And I feel like for me, one of the biggest things I felt was very lonely. I felt very like no one fully got me. And that was really hard. But after I had my losses, like people just almost seemed to come out of the woodworks and say, you know, I had a miscarriage, I lost someone, or my sister was stillborn, or my mom lost the baby, and like things that people don't normally talk about. And so that was just so eye-opening and also just really comforting to my weary heart that there were so many people around me that I had no idea had been through it themselves or knew someone, their mom or their sister, or someone, you know, had also gone through losses, and just felt like there is this like community that, you know, no one wants to be a part of it, but it does exist in that we have each other. And so even now, like I have friends or, you know, people, even like old high school friends that I don't really stay in touch with a whole lot, but like we're Facebook friends. And so they know my story. And so they'll like send me a message and say like, hey, like one of my good friends just lost a baby. What can I do for them? And I love that. I love being able to just walk alongside them and just encourage them so that they can encourage their friend and support them. And so that's just been really sweet. That and just really, it's very special to me that I get to be a part of that. And it's not always easy. I mean, I will find myself just like bawling, like reading the story, and like they'll apologize. I'm like, no, like, I want to hear about it. Like, I want to know so I can be praying for them, because that's what they need. And there's really not much anybody can do, but to have that community and to, you know, for me to encourage and help in any way that mom, whether it's directly or indirectly through a friend of hers, I just think that's special. So all that to say, in kind of a roundabout way, that, yeah, like it really has transformed my life and a way that like I'm a mom and I'm in both worlds. And so I get to enjoy the highs and lows of both, really.
And one thing I love too, Jessica, about your family is that even though you guys are still walking through the waves of grief, you do really special things on the boys' birthday. I don't know if you were prepared to share about that, but I remember that first year, you know, on Zeke's first birthday, you guys had kind of shared with me the special things you were doing. I think even in that grief and even in the loss, you were using that transformative experience to bless other people and to continue to share the life that Enzo and that Zeke lived.
I wasn't prepared, but I'm glad you asked, because I do really, really enjoy that. It's very special to our family. So one thing for me is that, you know, I have these living children that I want them to just always know they have these siblings in heaven. And it's not like something I'm always constantly like telling about and I'm crying and talking about death or anything, but I just talk about it as like almost just matter of fact, like you have, you know, your sibling in heaven. And sometimes like I won't always like include that. I'll be saying something about like, you know, this is I don't know, just different things. And then like one of my kids will be like, and Enzo and Zeke. And it's like, yes, them too. But like, that's not quite what I'm talking about. But yeah, so like they include them themselves. But anyways, as far as birthdays, I just felt like a really fun and easy, fun and good way for us to commemorate them is just to have like a little party, just our family. And so we usually just do like a little cake and then we buy like a number candle and we sing happy birthday to them. And then we eat cake and ice cream. And it's like a celebration. It's a celebration of the life that they had, not outside my womb, but they did have a life in my womb and it's worth celebrating. And sometimes we'll do it, if it's like nice weather, we'll go and do it in the cemetery next to their gravestones where they're buried. We just celebrate there. And there's other things I have done on my boys' birthdays that I don't do every year because sometimes, some years I'm just not feeling it and I just can't and I can hardly get out of bed and it's just so heavy and so hard. But there's some years where I'll do like a small act of kindness thing where write a note or I'll take a little like Target gift card and I'll take it to the hospital that they were born at and just ask one of the nurses, like, can you give this to a mom whose baby was born today? And I just let them kind of choose it. And I get usually like I'm crying talking to the nurse and they give me a big hug. And because it's also hard to be back, you know, where they were born at, on that day, you know, years before. But yeah, I just think it's just important. You know, it's, I think for me, it's to celebrate your kid's birthday when they're alive. It's, you're celebrating the day that you met them. And so whether they lived or died, they're still worth celebrating. And so that's just how we do it. And I don't think there's a right or wrong way. Not that everyone has to do that. If they've lost a baby, it's whatever feels right for you. And that's just what feels right for us.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that has me teared up just thinking about the lives that you guys have touched, even though you're missing your boys. Jessica, what's one thing that you wish that you guys knew, that you and Evan knew, or that you want expectant families to know before they give birth?
Something, I mean, I think Evan and I knew, and we did a good job with it, but I just think it's been very impactful for us that I would like to share if others aren't aware, is just document everything. And not like it crazy, like where it's like a burden, but just like take a quick picture of in pregnancy, in labor, and after, specifically like pregnancy, like, you know, everyone gets a monthly, weekly picture of your growing belly. Taking a video of the baby's kicks from the outside, I just love that. Like, it's just something, and then even like the hiccups, because it's just so special, those moments. You really miss it. Kind of like an everyday thing, and sometimes it's kind of like a nuisance at the time, but it's like to document it, to look back on it, it's just so fun. And even my girls and my boys, like I show them pictures of them in my belly, or I show them kicking and stuff, and they love it. So like documenting like during pregnancy, and then for me, like when I was in labor, I like to take notes, and I think kind of like laughed at me a little bit, Shannon, but I think it's just for me, I don't know, I'm just, I guess, that type where I just remember like the details. So I don't know if this is maybe for everyone, but I would just mark a time and say like, I got this medicine at this time, or my water broke at this time, or I was dilated to a 4 at this time. And then to look back on that, I don't know if that's maybe for everyone or not, but like, I just think it's so cool to see like, wow, that all happened in that short amount of time. And that, but like when you're in the moment, it seems like forever, like huge gaps of time. So
you got to capture so many beautiful moments that for a lot of people are just gone from their memory, you know, or I didn't even realize that that happened. I think that that is beautiful that you take such intensive notes, and now even the boys' labors, you can look back, well, with all of your labors, even the girls, but to look back and kind of see those really miraculous moments and to have those tucked away for the rest of your life to look back on. I think that that's beautiful.
So it's not just, you know, pictures are great, videos are great for sure. I just encourage document as much as you can.
As we wrap up here, is there anything that you wanted to share? Maybe just one or two things that you loved about your birthing experiences?
I just really loved for one, meeting my children, obviously, but also to me, it's really cool to know that I get to experience and feel what women for all of history has gone through and felt as far as delivering and without intervention. And I mean, even the joys and the sorrows, like women have lost babies and women have had babies. And so it just feels like it's like a cool, like connecting point to just the past and in the future. And just a really big blessing to be a mom and to just welcome. It's just crazy to think that you brought a life into the world.
Thank you so much for taking the time to share with us your joys and your sorrows and how you and Evan have chosen to live into this life of loving your family. I really have enjoyed getting to know you guys, and what an honor to be with you through Zeke's birth and Isaac's and even Adele's very quick birth. It was a joy to be able to be with you and to have that familiarity to go through a loss with you. And I might cry too. But thinking about how you just cried out during Zeke's labor and then how you cried out during Isaac's labor, but it was a different crying out and it was full of joy. Really, truly, it was an honor to be with you and to witness all of this transformation that has happened in your life and how amazing you guys have done as you've walked through life and put one foot in front of the next and just done the next right thing. Thank you for sharing the ways that birth has changed you and in huge ways and in the small ways too.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. It really means a lot.
Thanks so much for being on the show, and we'll see the rest of you guys back here in 2 weeks.
I love how powerful stories are in our lives, how much they can change a person, how our stories tell others about who we are and where we are headed, and not just how much those stories can change us, but also change the trajectory of our lives. Thank you for spending time in your day to dive deep into stories of how birth has transformed all of us from the inside out.